Hello, and thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitza Mazoz. Hello. Today we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about something very painful, very deep: stress. We all experienced it. It reflects on everything that we do in life. It reflects on our environment. And we'd like to understand this phenomena a bit better in order to learn how to cope with it. Nitza, please.
Yeah, stress, tension, pressure is something that we've all experienced. There are even those that call this era, this period in time, as the period of stress. And just to give some background, the mechanism that creates stress in a person is something very basic that exists also in animals, and it's there in order to warn us. Danger up ahead, you might be hurt, and then there's like this button that is pushed, and it tells you run or protect yourself. And then the system goes into a state of alertness and it starts working. Now, we know that this mechanism was always there from the dawn of human history. There were always threatening factors like wars and disease and hunger and many other things. But still, something in modern times, in our times, there is something that keeps a person in a state of almost constant stress. And this is very different than the way it used to be. It's not something occasional, but it's something lasting. Now, chronic stress is the number one cause for illnesses: heart attacks, diabetes, strokes, and so on and so forth. And also on the mental level, depression, anxiety, and so on. So this is what we'd like to talk about today, and look at it from a different angle, from your angle, and to try and understand how do you, as a Kabbalist, explain this phenomenon of this ever-growing stress that we're living in today. We are the will to enjoy, the will to receive pleasure. If we're enjoying ourselves, we're calm. You can also see it on animals, on everything. And the more our will to receive, our desire to enjoy grows, and it grows all the time, throughout a person's life, until midlife, until it starts sinking, so to speak. And also from generation to generation, it goes and grows. And then obviously that in every generation, man becomes more demanding more pleasure, fulfillment for the will to receive, for the will to enjoy. And because all of us want it, then we have to share the possible pleasure. And so it follows that we have nothing to enjoy in life. From generation to generation, life is becoming more pressuring. You can really see it in the Charlie Chaplin movies with all the depression and all these things. In our times, it's a bit more orderly. It's more internalized. And of course, we feel it on ourselves. Statistics says about it. Doctors, medicine, heart attacks, depression, drug consumption of antidepressants, different sedatives and so on. For everyone and even for our pets. And we're all in stress. And prolonged stress puts us in danger of heart attacks and different other problems that I'd say are a bit less conspicuous to the eye, that it's a result of stress, but it is a result of stress, obviously. And in general, I'd say that any sickness is a result of stress. Whether we're talking about skin disease, inner organs, and especially heart, lungs, and so on. Stress accompanies us from the moment we come down from mom's hands, and from that point on, and a person has to go to kindergarten, and he already experiences stress there. Why does he need it? Because previously, mom and grandma took care of us at home. And then maybe we learned some craftsmanship from dad. So I continue like my dad was. A person didn't really leave home, so to speak. Whereas today he has to run around, fly, search. Where can he get a profession, fulfillment for life? His ego grows. He learns it from internet, from others. He doesn't want to be less than them, so he's really under pressure. And we're in stress all the time. Besides, our working hours are really around the clock. Even though that is if, what's the rush? We can work less, but no. Someone from the elites wants to make a lot of money off us, and he puts us in competition and makes us run around in life and so on. Me, my wife, and the poor children that we throw them in kindergarten and school early in the morning. And what do they have there? They have stress of their own there. If you talk to the kids that go to school, they'll tell you the pressure they're in, the stress they're experiencing. It's really terrible. Pressure, mental tension. Why does a child start experiencing that the moment he is as if being rooted out of his family, so to speak? It's forbidden to do that. A child, by nature, has to grow either inside his family or inside his environment, which is like a broader family, and this is the only way he should grow. So, once you take a person out of his natural environment, in a different environment that he's not familiar with, say at first it's kindergarten, then there's school, so he already experiences stress. Yeah. So, let's see what happens. A person goes into a certain environment that he's not familiar with, that he no longer feels wrapped in warmth and love. What does he experience? Insecurity. And what does he need in order to feel secure in that environment? First of all, that they'll acknowledge that he is like them, meaning to be like everyone. That's the safest thing to do. Meaning that if he won't be conspicuous, then he'll be like everyone. He wants to feel equal. No, it's not that his pride pushes him, but it's the insecurity that pushes him to hide among everyone. After he goes through that phase, and he has already reached a state where he's like everyone, and gradually he's being accepted, then his ego starts pushing him more and more to be more conspicuous than everyone else, and more and more. And all of this is our egoistic desire to enjoy everything that pushes us. And then it does the math between self-confidence and control and pride and even to endanger oneself to a certain extent. We're pushed to do all these things by our ego. But one way or another, both in our search for confidence and also in our search for control, we're experiencing serious stress. And our life is very stressful. And so if we're in a society which is completely controlled by the ego, then of course, we have no alternative but to treat it with sedatives, take drugs, antidepressants. This is what we see. that this is what humanity consumes nowadays. The truth is that there's no real solution for stress. There are different exercises or medicine. There can be no solution for stress because our entire life is controlled by our ego that demands maximum success, not allowing us to stay calm in our current state. Meaning the ever-growing demand of the general social ego actually creates the ever-growing level of stress from generation to generation. Yeah. What creates expectation, what of course, human society, grades, and gives medals and awards to everyone, and then everyone feels that they can't be less appreciated than others, and this is what our ego demands, and therefore everyone wants to show how successful, how special he is. That's nature. And therefore, there's no way out. We'll advance towards greater and greater problems, illnesses, heart disease, tension, stress, and everything that results from it. There are some people that are more inclined towards stress and those that are calmer. There are, but it's not that they're calmer. This is how we see them from the outside, and maybe they also seem to themselves that way. To others, that's for sure. The melancholic, the sanguinics, the phlegmatics, even more. But it doesn't mean that they have less of these phenomena, only that this phenomena is less evident. Meaning it's beneath the surface. Yeah, and if you talk to doctors, they'll tell you that it barely has to do with a person's character. Melancholics, sanguinics, cholerics, phlegmatics, doesn't matter. It's there, only more internalized. But it's there, inside a person. Okay, so what I'd like to ask about is, I understand that we're made out of this basic substance called the will to receive pleasure. If we receive pleasure, we're enjoying ourselves, we're calm. If we're not, we're not. And we're in an era that is demanding of us full success, not allowing us to be calm, not even for a moment. We're in constant pursuit for greater success, and from here, we come to the conclusion that there can be no solution for stress. So my question is, the ever-growing aspiration for success, the aspiration for greater and greater pleasure. It sounds like a very basic and natural need of ours as human beings. Yeah, this is what our ego demands. So why, if we have this inner need to enjoy and succeed more and more, why will we never be able to achieve that and the stress will only go and grow? Because this is how it's planned by nature, to bring us to a state of despair, of helplessness, that we will completely despair of our ego, that's pushing us to achieve some unrevealed, unattainable success that seems bigger and bigger all the time. It is if approaches you and escapes, approaches you and escapes. And it's all in order for us to understand the game, that in our ego we'll not reveal any success, but only problems, illnesses, and death. What do you mean by that nature does it, that the system does it? Yeah? We're within the laws of nature. Who does it? We're all in all a result of nature. And nature is advancing us, developing our will to receive, our desire for pleasure, and the fact that we can't fulfill it. Probably. nature has some kind of plan to bring us to despair. Doesn't sound like such a great plan. It's a very smart plan for us to acknowledge and understand that we are of poor character, that we will not be able to achieve anything by our ego. And we see it now not only on people, but also on society as a whole. We've reached success in science, culture, education, and so on, but what do we have as a result besides the general crisis? Nothing. On the contrary, we've reached a state where we're lowly, ignoble, much worse off than previous generations. Okay, so you said that we're in this big system called nature that develops our desire to receive pleasure more and more. And all this has a concealed plan of bringing us to a state of despair. Yeah. Despair of what? Despair of our own nature. What do you mean? Of our ego, of our will to enjoy. That if we use our desire to receive pleasure directly, it leads us to stress, lack of success, helplessness, big global problems, wars, and so on. Our nature itself is bad. What's bad about it? That we all the time want to achieve something that's unachievable. We want to attain something that's unattainable? Yeah. And then I have to all the time compete with others. And this leads to stress. But why is it unattainable? Why do you see our life as the pursuit of something unreachable? First of all, if everyone wants to attain what everyone else wants, then what? You build your success on the ruins and the destruction of the other. How else can you do it? I want to be more than everyone. I want to be king of the world. And others, they should be beneath me. But I'm not alone. Besides me, there are another 8 billion of those. And that's what all of them want. So what do we get as a result? That I ceaselessly, all the time, have to protect my place. Keep it. And then what happens? What happens is life as we know it. So the system of nature, because it's all the time pushing us and growing that desire in us to want more and more, it introduces the stress into the system. Yeah, our egoistic nature is the cause for all of our problems and troubles. That's the only reason. The source of the problem is man's ego, his will to receive, his nature. And were we to calm it down, but you can't calm it down, suppose give everyone sedatives, and we'd be calmer this way. This is something that we can do. We can do it. We can achieve that only through drugs, but then a person disconnects from life. And then we have a question of, okay, so why is it built that way then? So comes the wisdom of Kabbalah and explains that it's in order for a person to acknowledge the evil of his nature. That's called the recognition of evil. So the purpose of stress is to lead us to the recognition that our nature is bad. That our nature is bad because it wants to enjoy at the expense of others, also at the expense of others, but in general wants to enjoy whatever is in front of it. That a person actually sees no limits. He wants and wants and wants to swallow the entire world. And if there are several worlds, all the more. And therefore, he's in stress because your powers are limited, life's short, and so it won't help you. So on the one hand, you're saying that man's nature is bad because he wants to enjoy at the expense of others all the time. But on the other hand, we say that this bad harms us actually because we become ill as a result. We can even die as a result. Not that we might die as a result. We die as a result. meaning we really suffer as a result. I'm not sure who is it more harmful for others or for ourselves. Only for ourselves. Can we say that our nature is bad because, first and foremost, it's bad for us? Yeah? As it says, that man's haters, enemies, are actually inside of him. So, is it true to say that this development is meant to lead us to a state where we identify what causes all the bad in our life, that it's something immersed in human nature? Yes. So we have to identify what is the precise factor that creates this stress. It would be great if we'd identify it. Okay, you more or less explained this, but I still don't exactly understand this. At the end of the scrutiny, if I understand what you're saying, if I'll know the precise factor due to which I feel stress, only then will I be able to advance towards some sustainable solution. Yes. Okay, we said that our nature is the ever-growing desire to receive pleasure. Now, I really identify with the aspiration to receive more and more pleasure and so on. Then I said, so what's the problem with that? And you said, the problem is that you're not alone in the world. There are another 8 billion people in the world, and they all want to be kings, even in their small territory, and so we collide with one another. So if I understand correctly, the problem is that not that I want to receive pleasure. The problem is that I collide with you, who also wants to receive pleasure. And we're competing over who's going to receive more. I mean, the will to receive, it doesn't sound like something bad. If I wouldn't want to enjoy, I couldn't enjoy anything. It sounds like the most basic positive thing in life. If you don't want to enjoy anything, God forbid someone doesn't have an appetite. The main problem is that I want to enjoy at the expense of others. So it's the combination of the basic desire to receive pleasure and that it comes at the expense of others. Okay, so why do we act at the expense of others? Where does this desire come from? Why, by definition, are we always trying to be better than others? If suppose my neighbor bought a better car, that's it. It ruins my week because I measure myself towards others. Because all of us are in one system. And in the past, we all used to belong to one system where we were truly as one man, truly so. We weren't one man, but our ego was so small that we didn't feel any difference between us in society. Yeah, it was in ancient times. Then, the will to receive started growing. We started dividing things into, this is my family, this is your family, this is yours, this is mine. But before that, we lived in a commune, like in communism. Everything belongs to everyone, everything equal for everyone, like in ancient tribes. Now, according to the ego that grew, we started distancing from one another. This is my wife and my children, and this is my property or my cave and so on. And then we also started dividing into different professions. This is your profession, this is mine, and go and provide for each other and live off each other, and my ego is constantly growing, and if it's growing, then I'm in constant competition with everyone else, who's more, who's less. And this is how we've advanced to this day, or today, especially with the media and everything that confuse you, that show you the entire world on your computer or mobile screen, and you have to cope with it. It constantly shows you how everyone is better than you are. So you're depressed anyhow. Wanting to be number one isn't good. It isn't. Why? Doesn't it allow me to excel? What for? I need tranquility. I need to be happy. What do I have as a result of excelling? That I'll compete with someone who's on the other side of the world? What do I have as a result? We really have a minute left. Can you please define what stress is? As follows. Stress is that there is some kind of an external influence on the person, on his egoistic desire to receive, to enjoy, which is greater than he can digest, cope with, and so he can't calmly attain the goal that he's presented with. Meaning the gap, the difference between my desire to receive pleasure and what I can attain in order to fulfill it, this creates the stress, yeah? And of course, nowadays, an ordinary person can never attain that which the global media presents him with. And therefore, he is in constant inner hidden stress regarding all the pleasures, everything that he's shown, whether it's clothes or sports or beauty, everything, men and women. And how does this stress advance us towards the correction? Stress works on us in very various ways. How does it advance us towards the correction? That after the big despair, disappointment, we see that we can't do anything, we give up, and we perform self-scrutiny. And whoever succeeds in performing self-scrutiny, and we'll all do it eventually, then we'll see that we have to choose a different path. Where is there truly such pleasure where we're also in competition, but in a good competition with one another? He who bestows more good upon others, he is greater. So there is great pleasure up ahead. Yes, only a different kind. Thank God, because I started feeling stressed. This won't make you feel stressed. So this is something that we'll talk about on our next show. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. Thank you, Nitsa. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.